Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room podcast. Ryan Green, Case Kiefer, Ray Brewer, a full boat on hand to talk about a game that pretty much went how we expected it to go. UNLV falls to UNR for the record sixth year in a row. 44-26. Ray Brewer's heartbroken over there. And, we can sit here and say all we want about how this one wasn't quite the embarrassment of the last couple years. Either way you slice it, UNLV just can't close that gap between themselves and the rival.
Yeah, a loss is a loss no matter how you slice and dice it. Bottom line, the team that wears blue is a lot better than the team that wears red. From their personnel, their players, and for whatever it is, UNLV cannot stop the running game. I don't care if they're playing Pahrump Valley High, Ryan and Case. They have a hard time stopping the run, and that was the case tonight. 50 rushes for UNR, 374 yards on the ground. Could have been more. Somewhere along the line, maybe not this year, maybe next year, you got to figure out how to make a tackle when the other guy's running the ball at you. That's what stands out for me. Case?
Look at you throwing out a Pahrump Valley reference early in the podcast. But I got to agree
you
with
you. You don't feel like throwing Shap under the bus or anything like that?
Oh, dude, Shap would have rolled Pahrump. Let's not get into the high school project.
We'll have that on next week. But anyway, I agree with what both you guys are saying. Not as disappointing as the last year, but still a loss. Since I feel like I'm always the guy to bring up the gambling aspect, they did cover. They were at that late fourth down touchdown.
They're making people money.
So, you know, not a total disappointment. If you bet on the Rebels, you're at least a little bit happy.
No, absolutely not. And, at least UNLV had something going for it tonight. I can't even say that. Never mind.
They had some good things. The kick return, listen, when you get kicked off to that many times, some good things are going to happen. Marcus Sullivan, 4 returns for 147 yards. Tim Cornett, 2 for 81. Two young players, something maybe to build your house around, Ryan?
Phillip Payne with a nice game, 8 for 170. He's had now 2 games in a row against UNR where he's really had a big day against their secondary. But it's the little things filling in between. And you know, when I look back on this game, I'm going to think of two things. Both happen to be 3 and outs. The ones that came after the Will Chandler interception and the one that came after the fumble that they recovered deep in UNR territory, or in their own territory. 3 and outs that were costly and just cauterized any momentum that you had.
Right, especially the Will Chandler interception. I've only been around for 2 years, but that was by far the loudest I'd heard Sam Boyd, at least in UNLV's favor. And I really thought that if they had a drive there, maybe they could keep it interesting. I think it was still tied at 14, or maybe UNR is up a touchdown at that point. I thought that could have been a real turning point. But you just saw, when it came down to the big moments like that, the Wolfpack had better players. It was that simple.
Case Kiefer also covers the Locos for us.
So. I was going to say, you're telling me the UFL Bowl last year?
Hey, D.D. Dorsey just came back last week, so now that he's back, you know, I'm sure Higgins is going to add some excitement.
Ticket sales will be spiked. Ryan, you went down for postgame. You got to talk to some of the players. Last year, what stood out for me is that they lost 63-28, kind of threw in the towel there a little late, gave up, I think, 4 fourth quarter touchdowns. The rest of the year, kind of, they went through the motions, maybe threw in the towel a little bit on their coach. How was the emotions down there? You talked to the players and the coach. Are we going to see maybe the same thing this year, or do you think this team is going to continue to put their hats on every day?
Well, the emotions were pretty much the same as they were after losses to, you know, Wisconsin and whatnot. It's, you know, they're I think they were a little embarrassed. I think, they're definitely humbled. Obviously, but you know, I think the thing that stood out is that last year you mentioned throwing in the towel. I still maintain to this day in that game at about midway through the third quarter on, the players threw in the towel, the coaches threw in the towel. Everybody just wanted to get the heck out of there. Reno sensed it, and Chris Ault had his fun. Tonight, you know, Reno had the game wrapped up. UNLV stayed aggressive. You know, you got to give this team credit. They do fight hard to the end. They don't give in. And with that said, I don't see them doing it later in the season, because I do think some wins are down the road. You know, you're not going to be playing ranked teams every week from here on out. The schedule actually does start to lighten up after next week's game at West Virginia. But, I think moral victories only count for so much. And I think some of these players are just – they're really – they're maybe getting their, I think they're all getting their hopes up. They want to see some return on the investment here, and I think really realistically what we saw, what we thought before the year, 3 or 4 wins, looks like it's probably going to be pretty true.
And to get the 3, they'd obviously Colorado State looks like a probable win, and then, you know, Wyoming is might be that 3rd win.
And maybe they get to play New Mexico again by some scheduling, you know,
glitch.
Maybe a rain out, a forfeit. But before we move ahead to West Virginia, Case, you were down by UNR, their coach, Chris Salt. We've had a lot of had a lot of in the history of this rivalry. We've had helmet throwing at Alt. We've had a beer bottle thrown at John Robinson. We've had a lot of, you know, hard feelings between both universities. And in fact, today they wouldn't even let in folks that had the FUNLV or FUNR jerseys.
I saw plenty of them, though. They must have snuck them in somehow.
But afterwards, UNR coach Chris Alt, a little upset at some of the UNLV folks. Case, you were there to witness this explosion of emotions of sorts. Tell us what happened, brother.
Yeah, I'm going to start referring to them as Alt Ball. They're Alt Balls, kind of like Malt Balls, but a little bit more sour. Because Chris Alt, even though they won this game, was in a sour mood after the game. He comes out, I think he made it a point to do it in front of all the media, holds up their credentials and says, I'm paraphrasing here, not exact quote, but we're never wearing these again. Give them back to them and tell them this is the only time. This is a sign of disrespect. And he was saying it because it said UNR coaches on it instead of Nevada. And then he goes, we're Nevada, kind of, you know, with that tone, defiant tone, I guess. And then he brought it back up again. He just seemed kind of soured, like I said, on the whole thing. And I really got the feeling that he wished they beat him by more than 18. He said that they kept UNLV in the game for too long. I guess that's another tenet of Alt Ball. I just can't believe, I just couldn't believe he had this kind of attitude after, you know, a big win, keeping the cannon for the 6th year in a row.
Staying undefeated.
I mean, and what Ryan said and what I think is really true, this is my first time being around the rivalry, of course, because last year was in Reno. It just shows how much this game means to this guy. I think he wants to win by 50 points every time he can.
Yeah. And obviously, he was throwing the ball on 1st and 2nd down with under a minute left.
And Alt's been around forever. He knows the history of the rivalry. He was there when they were a 1AA school. And, you know, Reno, the 3rd largest populated city in Nevada.
I have to correct you. I looked it up this week. It's 4th. North Las Vegas has passed it as of the last census.
Well, nonetheless, there you go. Reno, the 4th largest populated city in Nevada, always has that, you know, we're better than we think we are, little man, Napoleon theory, whatever you want to say. And, you know, they're Nevada, and UNLV is Nevada at Las Vegas, or UNLV. And so, you know, that's obviously a touchy subject with the man. And it was fun how it played out. It was a nice little wrinkle in the rivalry's history. You never knew it meant something.
For sure, and it gives us a storyline for 2012. I can't wait to see what's on those labels, and I can't wait to see what they say we're not going to wear them. Then they're going to say, well, you can't go on the field. I guess, you know, whoever their quarterback is at that time will have to lead the charge.
That blew my mind. I mean, I guess I'm not really terribly surprised, though.
What are they?
I'm really not. The man's a lunatic.
I forgot. I left out my favorite part of this. Every time I'm telling the story, I leave out my favorite part. He says, would we do the same thing to them up in Reno? And I'm sitting there scratching my head thinking, what could they possibly do? Because, I mean, it's UNLV. There's not this distinction with UNLV. There is with UNR, so I really didn't understand that comment.
I'll put it this way. The Board of Regents refers to it as Nevada-Reno. I'll refer to it as Nevada-Reno.
There you have it.
There you go. That, boom, settled.
I'm unbiased. I'm from the
wrong.
South in Kansas. Yeah. Nevada Reno makes sense to me.
Folks, you thought we'd be breaking down some plays or how the Rebels looked or how their next games are.
You saw the game.
Everybody, this is what happened after the game.
But, you know, the one thing to hit on, is there any hope for the run defense in your mind? I mean, look, last week they have their most impressive win of the year, 45-10 over New Mexico, and they still surrendered, what, about 150 yards? I mean, It's really alarming right now. And Bobby Houck was asked, you know, what needs to happen for it to improve, and he just said, recruit. We got to recruit. So I think he's kind of hinting that they just might not have the pieces to have a formidable run defense at any point this year.
And that's the bottom line. When you look at the defensive line, I think they have like 9 in the regular rotation. Alex Klorman, walk-on freshman. You know, Nate Holloway, gray shirt freshman. Ian Bobick, true freshman. Kelby Olad, true freshman. So they've got 4 freshmen in the regular 9 on the D-line. And you could see, if you just sit and you look at the line, you could see the UNLV D-line guys getting pushed back a little bit. And, you know, Ronnie Paulo, God bless him, 13 tackles today. Pretty good day for the senior from Western. But when you're not getting any kind of push, you know, football's controlled on the line. You got so many young kids out there, Ryan. It's nearly impossible. I guess moving ahead, if I could kind of direct our train down the tracks to the West Virginia game.
We're way off the tracks at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to steer us back in, baby. West Virginia game. Case, do you want to give us what the line's going to be since that's all you care about?
No, that's true. I think West Virginia, you know, if UNR was about a 21-point favorite on the road, I think West Virginia's got to be about 4 touchdowns, maybe in the 26 range would be my guess. At least 21. What do you guys think?
I think you're probably about right, and I think it'll get driven up a little bit, whatever it is, and I think it's pretty fair because, you know, we were talking about it before we came in here. Not only is West Virginia going to be better, you know, they run the ball very well. A lot of athletes on that team, just those 5'11 guys that just run circles around you. And, you know, they're coming off a bye week. They're going to be rested. UNLV's a little beaten up right now. They got to travel 5 hours east. I think everything here is in West Virginia's favorite.
To a beautiful state, though. It's a great place to be.
To a great state, like Brewer says. But all I can say is about the rush defense is it's totally brutal, and it's not going to get any easier with Noel Devine, as we've all talked about. I mean, this guy, he's so quick that he's going to – I think that the UNLV just doesn't have the team speed to keep up with him next week, and that's going to be a major problem.
And y'all can thank Mike Hamrick for this one because UNLV's schedule, the man who planned this the man who made this game plan, he's long gone.
Exactly, and he had his shot at West Virginia earlier this year at Marshall, yep. Right, and couldn't finish him off. So not looking too good for UNLV next week, I wouldn't
think. Do you think Hamrick goes to the game because he's going to be
out? I was wondering.
Could we put a number on that? Yes, minus one.
Say yes is maybe plus 175.
Does he get a field pass that says UNLV on it?
I'll say plus 350.
Yeah, you'd better say UNLV or else Halk might throw a fit if it was Nevada, Las Vegas.
Well, guys, let's get one parting thought moving forward before we get out of here.
When I got to the stadium tonight, I walked around the concourse, maybe 2 total trips around. Real cool to see just interest in football in Nevada. As everybody knows, I'm a native Nevadan. And I remember the days when, you know, UNLV was playing Pacific and Long Beach State, and UNR was 1AA playing Portland State. And to see this rivalry have so much interest across the board and to see a lot of, you know, folks in different age ranges, I thought was pretty cool. As a UNLV grad, if I could editorialize the outcome, maybe not as cool. But a good environment for college football. And you guys even told me you guys come from real college football environments that this kind of, you know, reminded you a little bit of when you went to Kansas. So I thought pretty cool for us Nevadans.
Yeah, really, I couldn't believe there's traffic, there's tailgating, there's people yelling. So since Brewer ended with a positive, I'll end with a positive too. For UNLV, I just think this shows what Philip Payne is capable of. Just keep getting this guy the ball. I mean, this is a big talent for UNLV to have, and I don't think people always realize just how talented he is.
I'm going to end with a positive too, and I will make a bold prediction. On Friday, November 26th at Mackey Stadium in Nevada, Reno, undefeated Reno will face undefeated Boise State. I think it's going to happen.
That'll be
and
fun.
I think Reno's going to take a bow. I think Boise is still the class of the WAC, but you got to give Reno some credit. They're a very, very formidable non-AQ opponent. They're going to have a tough time scheduling in the next few years because I think not a lot of teams are going to want to face them from the Pac-10 and elsewhere. Got to give their program a lot of credit because they've got it going right now.
And listen, that small-town Reno is going to pack into that stadium that day for that Boise State game. It's going to be an event of events for that community.
Maybe the biggest game in the history of the WAC, which is appropriate since there's probably not going to be very many more games left in the WAC.
We can end it at that. For Ray Brewer, Case Kiefer, I'm Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room Postgame Edition. We'll talk to you this week sometime. Take care.